In the morning, I was talking of responsibility or the sense of accountability. Now, we should first of all understand that this sense of responsibility or accountability is a group name. Responsibility is not the name of a single quality, because it is constituted of so many other qualities. If those qualities are not there, one cannot be responsible. One cannot discharge his responsibility. I will just name some of them. For example, you consider yourself responsible, you are serious about your responsibility when you think something is important. When there is an understanding that this thing is important, it must be done, then I think that I should do it with some kind of a responsibility. So first of all, there is the realization, the understanding that the task allotted to me, assigned to me, or accepted by me is something important. The more important a thing, the more responsible you feel. You devote your time, attention, energy. What we mean by responsibility is that you devote these resources. You pay full attention to it. If you don't pay full attention, then it means you are not responsible. You don't consider yourself responsible. Or even if you consider yourself responsible, you are not fully awakened to your responsibility. So, the first thing is understanding. It widens our scope of understanding, the horizon of our understanding. And unless and until we begin to realize important things are important, unimportant are unimportant, what we have been doing is that we have been devoting more time to gossip, to waste of time, to negative thinking, to useless things, which are unimportant. If therefore we now develop the sense of understanding what is important as differentiated from what is unimportant, then only I become responsible. So this responsibility includes in itself the understanding of what is important as from non-important. If I develop this kind of an ability, a faculty, then only I can be a responsible person. And the second is its consequences. If I don't do this, what will happen? Baba says you must stop the leakages. There should be no wastages, no negativities, so on. Now if I don't understand what will be the consequences if I don't do this, then my effort on the right lines cannot start with a sense of responsibility. I therefore should understand that my negativity, my wrong actions are leading the whole world to a global catastrophe. Now each one, for example, contributing to environmental pollution. Everyone has been thinking that if he adds to a little bit of pollution, it doesn't matter. The globe is so big, you see. The globe can take that, you see. If one had understood that if each one makes a contribution to the pollution, ultimately everyone will die. The consequences would be so dangerous, no one realized. So, when I am a responsible person, when I think myself responsible, it means that I understand the consequences. Baba says there is short time left. Within this short time, you have to get rid of your bad actions, your karmic account. You have to inculcate in you the divine qualities. You have to stop all your negativities, so on and so forth. It's a lot of work. And if I don't do it, I lose godly inheritance, godfatherly inheritance. I don't go to golden age, I don't go to silver age. And it is not that I don't go there only for once. It will repeat endlessly, recurringly, kalpa after kalpa. So enormous is the loss that if during this lifetime out of all the 84 lives, if during this last part, last phase of this life, if I don't do sincerely my efforts, the consequences are unimaginable, so enormous. And if I think a little, apply my mind to it, put my effort into it, then the consequences are so bright. I get so much. And not only in one cycle, cycle after cycle, recurringly. How enormous is the gain? And how enormous is the loss? So, if I understand the consequences, not only that it is important to become divine, people also understand it. All the people who give spiritual talk, who are spiritual leaders, who are devoted to some kind of a spiritual discipline, they all think spirituality is important. Therefore, they are devoting time to it. But it repeats, cycle after cycle, they don't understand. Its consequences that the world will get destroyed, you have no other chance. This is the only chance you get in one life, just during the last phase. And if you don't do it now, people think that maybe in the next life we can do it. Baba says no, not in the next life, because there is going to be a catastrophe. There is going to be a destruction. After that you have no opportunity. This is the only opportunity. So mind you, what will be the consequences? It will be a tremendous loss, unimaginable. All your computers, I think, cannot work. How much loss it will be. The most advanced one even. Because it cannot take into account all the factors. We do not know how much loss in terms of health, wealth, happiness, all whatever a human being expects, hopes for, will be lost. Sheer loss, you see. Every time it will repeat. So, when I consider this enormity of the consequences, then I become responsible. So, this sense of responsibility includes this. Then, I also realize the opportunities. If I realize the opportunities, even when the hard tests come to me, I don't mind. I say, if I don't face these tests, I will lose this opportunity. I cannot just lax about it, and I say, oh, there are so many problems, so many difficulties, so many tests. I never anticipated when I entered into this institution, or when I took to this spiritual discipline, that I would be hard put to face all these things. I can't bear with them anything, anymore, you see. Then, I lose the opportunities. It is the only opportunity you get. Mind you, it's for you. You are your own best friend, your own worst enemy. Now choose what you want. If you want to be your enemy, then give up this opportunity. Baba says, you take the chance and you become the chancellor. Don't take the chance, you don't become the chancellor. It's up to you. So, it means I understand the chance, the opportunity provided to me, the potential, what lies in it, that realization, that cognition, that understanding. So, those abilities are unawarely getting developed in me, in a responsible person. Then, you understand priorities. To understand important is something, but to understand which is more important, sometimes you get so many messages. There are on your table the fax messages, the trunk calls, the telephones, and the letters with the label urgent, very urgent, most urgent, immediate, at once. So many things. Now, which one is more important? Because now there are so many patients in a hospital, and this one will die after a few minutes if it is not given, you see, something, the proper medicine, proper care, maybe oxygen, maybe blood, or whatever. So, will lose a life. This patient can wait for some time. This patient can wait more. So, the doctor has to choose which patient requires the immediate attention. That is a responsible doctor. If on the other hand he thinks the first come is first served, now here it will not work, you see. It's not an inquiry counter that first come will first served, you know. It will be a loss of life. You should have a sense of responsibility. You are not only a doctor, but you must know which patient is first to be attended. So you know the priorities. Which is to be done first? Whether you sleep in Amrit Vela or you get up in Amrit Vela, which has the priority? You know. Whether you pay attention to your studies or you just while away your time. There are so many things to be done. Many things are engaging our attention. We have to do so much. But which one first? There are so many things to be attended to. But if I think I am responsible for spreading this message, someone gave this message to me, it has changed my life. I get this opportunity. I get so much out of it. Now, is this message to be given to all? Now, there are so many things which are important. I have to take food. Because if I don't take food, I don't live. And I must live. Because life is so important. Without that, nothing is important. If life is not there, then nothing is there. They say, when I die, the whole world dies for me. You see. So, that is true. But, there are other things to life. The others are also crying for help, crying for peace. There is so much of sadness, so much of sorrow, so much of grief. So many tears rolling from the eyes. Is it not my responsibility to wipe those tears? To give them a message of peace? They are my sisters and brothers. Should I while away my time on eating and laughing and drinking and sleeping? Is this the importance? Is it like a responsible person? When the world is dying, they say Nero was playing upon that music when the Rome was burning. Is it what I am supposed to do? Is this responsibility? So if I am a responsible person, I have some responsibility towards my sisters and brothers. And if I am a responsible person, then I am to have some priorities. During the days of the Yajna, when Baba was in Sakar form, and there was hardship in terms of money, we were very short of funds, and there was very little even to be spent on our meals. Baba would say, you must send literature to people. You must give them message. And say from your, what you get to eat, you know. Because you are the children of God. God is the highest philanthropist, the most generous. So you have to do an act of generosity. You must daily give something in charity. This knowledge, this divine quality, this message. Like a Brahmin, you can't sleep. You can't eat. If you have not given message to even a single person this day, you eat, you sleep, you drink, you do all other things. They have the importance for you. They have the priority for you. Except that others may die. You don't care for them. You don't feel any concern. Then who is going to give this message to all the world? So if I am a responsible person, someone is sitting with me, next to me in my aeroplane, I must give him the message. Maybe I never meet this person again. Nobody, no other BK meets. Baba has given me this opportunity to tell him, you see, something, that this is what I want to tell you. Always try to find out an opportunity to convey the message, to give it. You see. You should feel compelled. You must think there is an obligation to be discharged. Because you got this something precious, and if you are depriving it of others, you are mainly selfish. It is not like a responsible person. Baba, you says in very many murlis, don't you hear? They say, they talk of clairvoyant people, clear audience people, who can listen, you know. No, this is really, even the clear audience people don't listen to the cries of others. They may be here, someone is in Delhi, someone is talking to another person. Now he can hear a person who has this occult power, you know, maybe. There are walls, there are boundaries. And he may be able to see beyond the walls. He may have this occult power. But cannot I see, even those people who are clairvoyant and clear audience and all these abilities, even they can't see that the whole world is burning in the fire of vices. Else they should feel concerned for this. That the world is thirsting, it is starving for peace. Baba has given us this kind of clairvoyance, clear audience, clear vision. We can see the condition of the world. And this should therefore give us a sense of responsibility. And in that sense of responsibility is included our priorities. Not that I can do every other thing except give the message, but I must not eat, you see, unless and until I read Murli to somebody, give at least a point of knowledge to somebody, donate some divine quality to somebody, do something in charity. If you have no one to talk to you, at least write a letter to somebody, you see. Do something, because you are called upon, this is a sense of responsibility. Think of someone, if you can't do anything else, send some good vibrations, okay. There is curfew outside, there is martial law outside, you can't move out, you can't do any other thing. Alright, then sit in meditation and send vibrations. At least you can contribute to the peaceful atmosphere of this world by your yogic vibrations. At least do this much, but with a feeling of responsibility that this is what you must do. So, one has to think of the priorities. And not only that, not only to think just to be a dreaming philosopher, but just to discharge those responsibilities. A responsible person thinks not only that this should be done, that should be done, this is important, that is priority, but should be practically doing it. So, it makes you a practical man. There are people who are theoretical. They would talk much, but do little. But responsibility means that you act. That shows your sense of responsibility. If you simply talk about do nothing, that does not fill my belly. You must do something which is concrete, which is something material, something substantial. You must be a person of action. And when you do something in order to discharge your responsibilities, how can you discharge your responsibilities without planning? That would be an irresponsible way of doing things. Any person who does something with responsibility has to plan, has to organize. As how can somebody do it in a proper way? So that again develops your other ability, so that it may not misfire, it may not be miscarried, it may not be wrongly done. It should be beautifully done, it should be done in an excellent way. In order that it may so happen, you plan. You organize. So these are the abilities which also flower. And then you put your heart and soul into it. If you do it half-heartedly, with a divided mind, not with a strong willpower, not putting your whole energy with a full zest, you are not responsible. Any person who, a doctor performing an operation, playing with the life of another person, if he is not doing it with full attention, with full alertness, if he is thinking of his wife or of his children, when he is operating on the heart of somebody, that man may die. At this time, forget about everything. Think of this, what you are doing. So, a responsible person is one who does it with full energy, with full zest, paying full attention. And what is yoga? Without attention, yoga is nothing. That I am a soul, a point of light. Requires so much of attention. What is concentration? Concentration is focused attention. Intense attention. A pinpointed attention is concentration. So attention is the main important thing. And every responsible person pays attention to whatever he or she is doing. So this is another ability which is flowering, by the way. When you are being a responsible person, so many other abilities are coming as byproducts along with it. Like an industrialist manufacturing a particular thing in the factory and getting so many other byproducts along with likewise. Then you must do justice to your work. Do it with excellence, with perfection. This will lead you to perfection. A responsible person does not leave any margin, any scope where there is a margin of improvement. He tries to improve it fully, you see. Do it with that sense. That is doing justice. How can I do justice to anybody if I am not doing justice to my own job, first of all? Something is given to my care. Something is entrusted to me. If I don't do justice to my work, I cannot do justice to anybody, you see. The first thing is this. So then again I learn a sense of justice, you see. And a sense of honesty. A sense of sincerity. You cannot discharge your responsibility unless and until you are a sincere person. See, sincerity leads you to responsibility. And then loyalty. Loyalty. Unless and until I am loyal to somebody, someone who has given to me, if my mind is wavering, I don't have my loyalties. No. Any person who is fighting for his country, a man in the army, if he has no loyalty towards his nation, how can he take the gun and shoot the enemy? He will say, I don't care. I am more concerned with my life. Let the nation go to dogs. I care little. Because he has no loyalty. The mother, if she is not loyal to the baby, or the baby is not loyal to the mother, one does not take care of the other. You don't care for any person unless and until you feel love and loyalty toward that person. So, loyalty. It's a great quality which people have lost at the workplace, in the family, you know. No loyalty. Not even to friends. We are friends today, enemies tomorrow. No loyalty. If there is friendship, it should last lifelong. But how can it last lifelong unless and until we are loyal friends, faithful friends? That is, we keep each other's faith. You see, we betray the faith. Husband and wife, they are not loyal to each other. Why are the families breaking? Because no one is loyal to the other. Why there is so much of promiscuity? No loyalty, no fidelity, you see. No one is accountable to no one. No one is responsible. And it is because there is no sense of loyalty. No sense of faith. So, what I was saying was that actually responsibility is a group name, which includes all these. If I know that by just being responsible, I learn so many things. Suppose I don't know something, and my senior says, Jagdish bhai, would you do this? No. How can I do it with responsibility when I don't know anything about it? But they expect me to do it. Baba says, take the chance and become the chancellor. You accept this and try to learn. So responsibility gives you an opportunity to learn, to enhance your abilities, to work for the flowering of your whole potential. So being responsible means that you develop yourself. It is an occasion for your development. They are now trying to have sustainable development so far as environment is concerned. That there should be development, but sustainable development, so that it does not cause any pollution. But this will always be sustainable development, no pollution. If you just take a responsibility, try to learn, pick up new things. Here is an opportunity. You do not know this. So it is not an excuse to escape. Accept it. Ask them to guide you, help you, and then you accept it with a sense of responsibility. You learn it. Anyone who began to do it, did not know it earlier, learnt it by practice, by understanding. So also you can, because you are a human being. Take that. So this responsibility brings so many things in us. Now, I was saying about yoga. Now, this is what my responsibility is towards me. First of all, if I can't discharge responsibility about me, if I'm an irresponsible person, even in my own things about my own concern, if I don't feel, then I don't think I can feel concern for any person. As they say, charity begins at home. Similarly, first of all, let me take up my own responsibility. And as I said earlier, my own responsibility starts from my realization that I need to improve myself. That the kind of life which I am leading, as I said earlier, that there should be realization, that the kind of life which I am leading is not the good quality, good level. It is the lowest level, as a matter of fact. It is the lowest level, the bottom level. There is so much margin of improvement because there is so much of negativity, so much of wastage. My energy is being wasted, my time is being wasted. I am not being creative, not being constructive, not getting higher and higher in my life. This is the lowest state of consciousness in which I pass almost the whole of my day. There are other stages of consciousness which are higher, which give me bliss, which give me purity, which give me more happiness. I can lead a better life. How can I make the world better unless and until I first myself become better? Therefore, Baba says transformation starts with the self. Similarly, I would say responsibility starts with yourself. First of all, be responsible to yourself. Pay full attention to your development. Because if you are a developed person, you can develop others by your own example. Baba says when you become a sample and an example, that in itself inspires others. You are an open book which people can read. So they get something from you. They learn something from you. The whole world is looking at you. So first of all, be responsible about yourself and to yourself. And I said, for that purpose, you must practice meditation. Why? If you just analyze our process of meditation, there are 6 or 7 basic thoughts in meditation. And they are very simple statements, very simple affirmations. I just repeat unto you, to remind you, and to focus your attention on it. And then I tell you how important they are for my development. And how I cannot be a responsible person without them. Meditation makes me responsible. Without that, it cannot be. In fullest terms, in real terms. First is, I am a soul. A point of light and might. Like a twinkling star. Now this is the first statement. This is about my identity. Now how it is important, I come to it later. This is the first statement I say to myself. I just think, the idea emerges in my mind and a picture comes on the screen of my mind. I see before the eye of my mind a point of shining light. And I say to myself, this is me. I am this. I am light. I am might. A shining star. A radiant star. Conscient star. First statement. Second is, I say I am eternal and immortal. This is another statement. If I am this, then what is this? It is not material which is vanishing, which is perishable, which is mortal, I say to myself. This point of light which I am is eternal and immortal. Second statement. I am not giving you in terms of order, but just telling you what statements we have when we just begin to practice meditation after 7 days course or within that period. Another is, my original nature is peaceful and pure. My original nature is peaceful and pure. It is very important, I tell you. These are the guidelines for our behavior. Without that, we can't get transformed. My original nature is pure and peaceful. Then, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And God is also a point of light and might. Okay. Another statement, God is loving, God is kind, God is compassionate, God is the holiest, the mightiest. He knows the past, the present and the future. He never causes any harm to anyone. He is kind and loving, so much he is. He loves me, I love him. Now, not going into further details, let us take up these. This reminds me that I am the son of a father. They say, like father, like son. If I am a worthy son of a worthy father, then what I am supposed to be? And if I say my original nature, because when people shout, they become angry. At the end of it, they say, please don't mind it. I am a short-tempered man because I have blood pressure. Forget about it. Now, some people say, this is my nature, you don't mind. In my heart, I am not so bad, but this is my nature to shout. From my very childhood, I have been talking like that. Now, so many things you do, and you try to rationalize by saying, this is your nature, which is actually not your nature. It is your acquired nature, you have acquired it over a period of time, this is not your real nature. If you say God created man in his own image, then this is not your real image, you see. You find all social theories, all political theories, all economic theories, all the social sciences, all psychology, everything is based on the nature of man. They first of all discuss what is the nature of man. When even you talk about friends, some people in the divine family, you say this is his nature, you forget about him, you see. Or you say, he cannot be changed, this is his nature, you see, he cannot give it up. If you condemn a man, you condemn it by saying that this is his nature, he cannot change. And if you just want me to be sympathetic to this man, then again you say, this is his nature, not my nature. So, every time you are discussing nature, Darwin gave his theory, Karl Marx gave his theory, all theories ultimately take to or start from the nature of man. Now, Karl Marx, who gave dialectical materialism or communism in his book The Capital, he says man is selfish by his nature, you see. So, he will exploit. Therefore, don't leave him alone, let us form communes. Let us have collective forms, collective, and it should be everything with the government. Otherwise, he is being selfish, will exploit, you see, and capitalism will come out of it, so on and so forth. He talks of nature, and while discussing nature, he says, man is selfish. Everyone discussing the nature. Now, how can a person discharge the proper responsibility if he thinks that everyone is selfish? You are very suspicious, doubtful. With whomsoever you come in contact, you are thinking, what is his selfishness? What is his motive? Why he is doing this? Always you look at his selfish motives, you see. You can't have some kind of a rapport, some kind of a loveful, cordial relation, unless or until you put faith, you become friendly, you think we are brothers, we can give up our selfish ends. If every time you just say we are selfish, he is selfish, she is selfish, all are selfish, okay then. So, the society begins to disintegrate. However best you may try to form USSR, ultimately it will disintegrate into so many republics, maybe after 50 years, 70 years, okay. Because the very foundation is not correct, you know. So, I tell myself, on the basis of godly revelations, I am pure and peaceful in my original nature, not selfish in my original nature. Loving. When I say pure, it means without hatred, without anger, without greed. Pure means so many things. Neither sex lust, nor anger, nor greed, nor attachment, nor pride. This is what I mean by pure. If that is my nature, what should my actions be? Now, when I consider this is my nature, I should be true to my nature. I should act according to my nature. Then only I can discharge my responsibility. Otherwise, I will be destructive. I can't be creative. Even if I will be discharging my responsibilities, the result would be negative. Because my actions are based on negativity. I am considering the negative aspect of my nature as my real nature. Whereas, in fact, it is my deformed nature, my degenerated nature, my perverted nature, not my real nature. My real nature, I say to myself again and again daily at Amrit Vela, I start with it. I am pure and peaceful in my original nature. I am a point of light. Because selfishness comes when you consider yourself to be a body. He is my nephew, so I must help him. And the other one has more merits. Let him go to hell, because he is not my nephew. So I employ this man because he is my nephew. But the other man is more meritorious, I don't do justice. Why? Because this man is my nephew, that man is not my nephew. You see. Why? Because he is related to me on the body terms as my nephew. I am body conscious. If on the other hand I think I am a point of light, so all bodily relations are finished. Bodily considerations are finished. You consider everyone as a point of light. Therefore, you look upon the merits. You try to do justice because you are pure. You say to yourself, I am pure and peaceful. See? So act with purity. Don't do anything impure. Dishonesty, injustice, it is impurity. So, it is a checking point. It always holds you from doing wrong things. Pure, pure, pure. This is the foundation. Golden age cannot come without purity. If you want the lamb, the lion, to drink water at the same pond, it will come from love. And love will come from unselfishness. It will come from purity. You Purity is the foundation of happiness. Baba says, purity is the mother of peace. Without purity, you cannot have a good world order. You can never be in peace. World can never see peace. There will always be war, there will always be bitterness. So I say to myself, I am pure and peaceful. You also say to yourself, you are pure and peaceful. If everyone remembers that our original nature is pure and peaceful, if we keep ourselves constantly reminding, and we put our thinking on these lines, then the new world order can be established. Then we are discharging our responsibility, starting ourselves from it, first of all. If I am pure, first of all, let me be pure. Then others also follow. This person becomes pure, that person becomes pure. Because how it happens, the process, when you think I have humility, I am sweet, I am loving, I am kind, I do justice, I cooperate with you, you love me. You mention it to others, come, I take you to such and such person, a very good man. Why you call a person a good person? Because one has good qualities. So, everyone wants good qualities in life, likes to see the good qualities in others, but is missing. Now, this is what is required, first of all, we have no control over others. It is not like a machine that I can take a screw and a wrench and something and transform a man, make him more tight, some screw in his head. I can't do that. I must transform myself, and taking my example, another man may transform himself or herself. This is how the process starts and the world changes. You see. So this practice of meditation changes, transforms, and with that transformation, then I am loveful, I am kind, I am sincere, I am honest, I am pure, I am peaceful. Then I discharge my responsibilities in a proper way. Now tell me, if I just take away any one of these statements, 7, 6, 8, 10, whatever I gave you, leave aside the others which I have not mentioned, which in deeper meditation you may have. Just in the elementary preliminary meditation, these 6, 7 affirmations, I affirm to myself, this is my nature. So that this thought may take roots in my mind. It may get stabilized. It may grow up. It may become very firm, very strong. Because they say our actions are what our beliefs are. Our actions are what our beliefs are. If you just take the actions of everyone, they are different. Because their beliefs are a little bit different from each other's. See. So, our whole action, behavior is dependent upon our beliefs. If our beliefs are wrong, our actions cannot be right. I am therefore giving to myself the correct beliefs. I am not this body, I am a point of light and might. I am not this mortal flesh and bone, I am eternal and immortal. I am not physically, this body is the son of such and such parents, but I am a child of God. See. And God has this, that and the other quality. So let me also have those qualities. And I say to myself, this is my original nature. And the more firm become these thoughts in my mind, they guide my actions. They direct my actions. They put my actions on proper track. This is how my behavior gets transformed. This is how ultimately I get divinized. I become a deity out of man. This is the way of transformation. Therefore, this is the first discharge of responsibility towards my own self. Let me change my own self. You see, this responsibility. And then, when I say, somebody told me that in the morning you perhaps originally had a plan of having a meeting about the family. I came to know of it, but I didn't know the background. I was told in the evening, somebody came and said, I want to interview you about this. What are your ideas about it? Then I became aware that this was being discussed with that background. Now, take the case of family, for example. Why the families are splitting up? The old people are being put in the home for the aged. The children going astray. So many people having illegitimate children. And people taking to drugs. There are so many cases of divorces. Why this family is splitting up, disintegrating, like some kind of radioactivity happening in the family itself. sparks going out of things. You see, why it is happening? There is no sense of belongingness. And the first thing, you know, the most important thing, the most powerful thing, more powerful than the atom bomb, the hydrogen bomb, the neutron bomb, and all the bombs, is love. Nothing is comparable to love. It is the only, if you just go into the chemistry, the physics, the biology, the zoology, the anatomy of love, most wonderful thing if ever there is. They say Taj Mahal is a wonder, but Taj Mahal was built as a monument of love, you see. And anybody who built anything without love, he cannot build anything great. Love ultimately is the force which can change the world. Without love, nothing can change. You may discourse so many times, you may give 1 week course endlessly. You cannot change a person. Unless and until you establish a mental rapport with that person. There is a sense, there is a cordial bond between you and him. Why the mother understands the child and the child understands the mother? There is a cordial link, mind-to-mind link. Baba changed so many because of that love link. Love link is the most important. If the families are breaking, it is because the love bond is breaking. In other terms, if the children are disobedient, if they are taking to drugs, because the parents are not giving them love, and they are therefore trying to while away their sorrow by taking drugs. If there are cases of divorce, because their love is built upon sands, not on any firm rocks, because their love is not there. Their mind is wandering for something which they want to find out, but which they cannot find out. It is only superficial love, artificial love, fake kind of love, not real love. So, that love bond is not there. And love bond cannot be established, can never be established. Any philosopher, any scientist, any thinker, let him explain, I challenge openly. If love bond can be established without meditation, I challenge. You see, you tell me, you analyze, give me the analysis, how it can be done. It cannot be done. Now, when I tell you that God is loving, God is kind, and without any selfish motive, he does not demand anything from you, does not ask you to give him anything. He wants to give you his inheritance, and his inheritance not only in this life, but in many lives to come. And he is the most sincere friend, the most faithful friend, in whom you can confide the most secret of your secrets, you see. And who can never fail you, can always be with you. He says, on the other hand, time and again, take me as your companion, I help you, you know. Now, if I can't be loving to such a person, then I am worse than the dust, you see. Even the most ferocious animal, even a lion when it is hungry, has some love for its kids, its young ones. It may be ferocious to others. I have not seen yet a living being who has no love. Maybe without anything. Some people may lose their eyesight, may lose the power of hearing, may lose their teeth, may lose their hunger, and whatever. But I am yet to see a person who has not even one trace, one drop of love. There may not be one drop of blood left, but in any soul, at least there will be some love. Even the dacoits, the criminals, the murderers, the rapists, they do have love. Love is the common factor between all human beings. The only thing is, love has been transformed. It has become degenerated into the form of sex lust. Sex lust now is being sold in yellow magazines as love, which is actually not love. Or greed, gluttony, I love to eat this food, they say love. Love is a divine thing, a very sublime thing, a noble thing. That noble thing, sublime thing has become degenerated. We are using it. We are putting this label on all things. Now, this love can be sublimated. It can be transformed. It can be purified by first of all establishing my love link with God. God again and again says, children, I love you. I will take you across. On my shoulders I will take you. On my eyelashes. How can he carry the whole world on his eyelashes? The soul is infinitesimal. He can. Why not? So, if to such a loveful person, I don't respond in love, I don't know how to respond in love, I am then perhaps more hard than the granite, than the stone. But it is not what I believe in, because I said, there is love in everyone. You see. So this love, in order to be awakened, when you talk of the awakening of the soul, the spiritualization of the soul, the divinization, the change, the transformation, actually what you mean is the transformation of love. If the love becomes pure, if the love becomes sublime, the whole human being changes. That's all. You change the love, direct it towards a proper goal. Give it a proper guideline. If the love is changed, the person is changed. So, meditation is, Baba used to say, what is meditation? Lagan mein magan hona hi yog hai. He says in Hindi, it is a love link of the soul with God. What is meditation? In simple terms, it is the love link, love bond between the soul and God. You may not do anything else. You love God, and this is yoga. That's all. The more the love, the more is your mind absorbed. The more intense is your love, the deep is your love. When your mind is overwhelmed, flooded with love, you forget your body, your environment, all other things. I need not say, I am not a body, I am not Indian, I am not this, I am not that. Need not say so many things. You just think of God with deep love, with intense love, with a flood of love in your mind. Then that link is already established. You are already in bliss. For example, it is that you are basing your love on the color of the skin, on the geometrical form of the various parts of the body, giving a wrong basis to love. If you can love a point of light, if you learn to love abstract things, it is the greatest, the highest. Your now love will be ennobled. Presently the love is got stuck up into the physical figures. A person is young, beautiful, so she is the wife. Becomes deformed, there is an accident, you divorce the person, take another wife. Then that means your love is skin deep only, that's all. It is because your love is not real love. You see. Some people marry someone because this lady or the gentleman is rich, so by loving you get some property, some money, you know. And when you have done that, then you marry another. In India, there are bright burning cases. A person marries to somebody, asks the lady to bring dowry, more things from the parents. She doesn't bring, and they burn away the lady, and they say it was because of the gas cylinder bursting out. This person caught fire. Marry another and get more money. Why to do some business? This is the best business. You get wife as well as money. You see. That is what they would do. You see. Is this love? So will this family last? Because there is no love bond. The love is now towards money, towards the facial figure, towards that skin, or towards, take for example, the sensual pleasures. I love to eat this, I love to eat that. Baba said in one of the murlis, Achha lagta hai. Achha mana ichha hai. He says, you say, I like it, I love it. It means there are desires. As long as there are desires, you can't be a contented person. Because you are the slave. A slave can never be happy. If you are slave to your tongue, if you are slave to your eyes, if you are slave to your other organs of your body, you are just a bond slave. Don't expect happiness. Someone else is your master. You may be 6 feet 2 inches long, but your tongue is 3 inches long. And you are slave to your tongue. So, you are a slave, you see. And therefore you say, I love to eat. Actually, it is the tongue which loves to eat. But just as they say, it is my master's voice, it is there your master's voice. The voice actually of the tongue, not of you, you see. And yoga liberates us from all these sensual pleasures, from all this slavery. Baba says, be master of your organs. How can I be master of my organs? unless and until I love something which is abstract, which is the real, the truth. I love the truth, my real identity. And how can I be true? How can I love the truth? Unless and until, first of all, I know my own true identity. I have been considering myself to be a body which is against the reality, against the truth. So if I can believe in something which is utterly false, there can be no more falsehood than this. Because the body is made of matter, it has not any consciousness. Whereas I am a conscient person, and if I consider myself the body, then I am going against the truth. Then how can I be a truthful person? How can my love be true? How can my responsibility I discharge truly? At the end of the letters, you know, it is what they write. Yours sincerely, yours faithfully, and yours truly. Actually, all is wrong. I am neither yours truly, nor lovefully, nor faithfully. Nothing. Sincerely. It is just a formality. Words without any meanings. If I am really sincere, if I am really true to myself, if I am really faithful to someone who shows me the way, who is my best friend. So the family can again be integrated. There can be family units, which is the unit of the society. If you want to change the society, you must change the family. And in order to change the family, you must change the individuals. Because family is the unit of the society, and individual is the unit of the family. If